Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's present day in Toronto. An independent filmmaker, Ruby White, played by Ingrid Veninger, is working on a documentary about her family. For the story, she has stuck 100 hot pink post-it notes on a wall and is gradually filling in the blanks using vintage footage she has dug up and brand new snippets as they happen each day. Her daughter, Sarah, an artist, is very pregnant with a four-year-old daughter already there. Little Freya is exploring the world one blade of grass at a time. Her son, Jake, is a manager at a movie theater and a member of a rock band. Ruby's Slovakian parents, Dado and Baba, still play an active role in the family. Her mom still vivacious, her dad on his last legs. But with life, death, and birth happening all around her, Ruby must decide what to include in her film, what to leave out, what is real and what is fictitious, and what will her family think of the final film. Crocodile Eyes is a semi-autobiographical, semi-documentary slice-of-life family drama told through a raw and visceral lens. It's both heartwarming and shocking. It's the work of prize-winning independent filmmaker Ingrid Veninger, whose films have been shown at TIFF and festivals worldwide. She's also taught and mentored countless other filmmakers, many of whom have risen to their own fame since then. I've been following her work for the past decade and a half, reviewing movies like The Wonderful Modra and the hilarious I Am a Good Person, I'm a Bad Person, and have already interviewed her twice on this show in 2017 about Porcupine Lake and in 2014 about The Animal Project. Crocodile Eyes is having its world premiere on March 28th at the Canadian Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to have Ingrid Veninger here with me in person to tell us more about Crocodile Eyes. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, wow, what an intro.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, in your film, Crocodile Eyes, is it a fictionalized drama, a documentary, or something somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think all of the above. I'm like, what is fiction? What is nonfiction? What is real? What is scripted? What is controlled? What is spontaneous? I think those are some of the questions that the film is exploring. And, you know, I love the idea of categories kind of being broken down. And I love the spaces in between what's known and what's unknown. Like that messy sort of gooey spot in between things is where I like to play. And I think that's where this film lives.
And where do you put, what in that gooey area, where do you put it? Is there a dividing line?
It's really blurry. I mean, you sort of, when you were introducing the film, you were talking about the protagonist as Ruby White. And in fact, the sort of genesis of this film was lifting off the characters we played in I Am a Good Person, I'm a Bad Person.
Yes, who is also Ruby.
Right?
Yes.
I played a filmmaker, Ruby White. My real-life daughter played Sarah, which is not her real name. Her real name is Hallie Switzer. My real-life son played the role of my son. In fact, my daughter's boyfriend in I Am a Good Person, I'm a Bad Person became her husband and now the father of her two children. So I was kind of interested in exploring the characters of that fictional film 10 years later. And that was sort of the genesis of Crocodile Eyes. But then as I started making it, the lines became very blurry. And because I'm behind the camera filming my family, I was filming as Ingrid. But then in front of the camera, I was always putting on like Ruby White's wardrobe. So I was kind of in between myself and this character. And then I don't even know where the line is anymore in this film.
Well, describe Ruby the character to me. Is she sort of an exaggerated version of yourself or some in some ways different?
I think she is a kind of version of myself that is lost, hasn't made more than one film, doesn't really fall through, which was a very interesting thing that happened was the psychic scene. There's a psychic scene in Crocodile Eyes, and I was supposed to have a date night with my husband, and I said, I don't know. I have this feeling I have to go see a psychic, but for the movie, in character. And so I got into my ruby clothes, which are these like overalls, and I went to the psychic, and it was so weird to be sitting across from a psychic in a character. And when she says, well, you've never really made a film, you don't follow through on anything, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, just pick one thing, you're all over the place. And I actually, as Ingrid Menninger, I do follow through on things. So I'm now thinking, is this psychic actually amazing? And she's reading this fictitious character? I was so blown away. So there, like, there's a psychic and I'm in between myself and this character, but she's reading the character. So that's Ruby White in a nutshell. In that psychic scene, you get her.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, I've seen lots and lots of Ingrid's movies and they do get finished, but not Ruby.
Correct.
Yeah. Who's a sort of a comical cat. Is it? This is partly a comedy and partly not a tragedy, but a very serious thing.
I think it's a very intimate film. I mean, there is a content note on the film that there is real death in the film and there is real birth in the film. I watch my son's birth with him, and it's really me giving birth. And I go from teaching a screenwriting class on Zoom directly into filming my daughter give birth to her son. And my father does pass away in the film. So it also sort of explores what is okay to film and consent and the sort of ethics around what we capture and how we capture and the responsibility we have when we do capture. I'm exploring all of those things, which I think are big questions.
I wonder if you could talk about that. It was very heavy and very, very moving. I had to look away at times, but your father's death, when your father died, you have the camera off or a black screen, but you have a recording device for sound. Was that?
No. Actually, what happened was my father was at home and he wanted to pass away at home, a home death.
Right.
And so my mother and I were with him. And that particular morning, my mom said that his breathing had changed. Now, over the course of the 5 days before he passed, his breathing would stop for 10 or 20 seconds. We'd go, oh, is this his last breath? No. Okay. Then he would take another breath. But this morning she said his breathing has changed. So I came up with my camera and we talked about documenting this and I started shooting. And in fact, it's just the light in the room is very dark. Oh. It's actually all recorded. So then when you start to see his silhouette, it's just the exposure changes in the camera and it's sync sound all the way. So what you're seeing is what is happening in real time. And in that moment, he took his last breath.
And how did your family feel about you putting that in the film?
Well, the first thing, I mean, my father knew I was documenting this passing that he elected to have at home. And my mother was really on side with it. I mean, I think part of this whole experience, and then I don't want to give a spoiler, but you see that the family watches the film and we have a discussion about what's in the film, but was to make a film that my father would love. And he really loved things true, authentic, and unfiltered. And so I wanted to make this film in honor of him in a very raw, unfiltered way.
And there's a meta aspect to the whole thing because we have Ingrid, the filmmaker, making a film about Ruby, the filmmaker. But the film Ruby is making is not the film the audience is seeing, correct?
Well, imagine if you take Ruby out of the equation and right. It's just, I mean, in the end credits, you see everyone has a character name, but I don't.
Right.
It's just Ingrid Menninger as a player. I'm kind of myself.
Right.
I almost have to get rid of the Ruby layer.
Right.
Because it started to just dissolve.
Oh, interesting.
It just dissolved.
That's the mushy, fuzzy in-between space.
Yeah. And for like three versions of the film, it was Ingrid Menninger, Ruby White. And then it just dissolved. I went, no, I'm not Ruby White in this. This is me making a film with my family without a script. With the intention of capturing 100 real moments and looking at what is real and what makes a moment real, and can it retain its realness through the process of being captured all the way to an audience's experience. And so that'll be a really interesting thing to know after this world premiere at the Canadian Film Fest.
People in the industry often use the term unscripted, which generally means a reality show, which although they're not reading from a script, it's the most scripted, if you want, of anything that can ever be. But with this, I wondered, in the editing process, in the making of the film process, how much was an imposed story and how much was capturing what you saw, period?
Such a good question. The real challenge for me, because I have always scripted and then, you know, improvised, and the project has shape shifted in the making. With this, there was not only no script, no outline, no theme, no concept, no idea. It was just, well, I guess the theme was capturing real moments. So those 100 pink post-it notes were the only framework for the film. And then anything could be in the film. So there's lots, there's like 200 sequences that are not in the film. Mm-hmm. The whole process was a 2-year journey of shooting and assembling. And I worked with Mike Lobel, an editor. And it was, you know, when he would get the footage, he would start to create narrative and pre-lap audio, like you were saying, and, you know, tell a story on top of pictures. And we said, no, we can't start constructing what this is. The film is saying, back off, just capture and let it kind of reveal itself to us. And it took so much patience. It's the longest I've ever spent on a film. I've never spent 2 years on a film. And it was really, really hard. I mean, I don't know if I'll make a film quite in this way again. But Peter Mettler is a huge inspiration in terms of film jazz, he calls it, or intuitive filmmaking, where really it's a spontaneous, or the Maisels brothers, or there's so many filmmakers have a spontaneous way of making films without any pre-visualization or predetermining or pre-conceptualizing of what the result will be.
Now, your family, especially your kids, have been in many of your films, and I know Jacob's been in other films that you might have had worked on, but I think he's just became a child actor on his own in addition to your films. So were they totally copacetic about the whole thing, about being filmed, or were they a bit uncomfortable, or was it too close to home? I don't know.
Well, I mean, now we have a new member of the family, granddaughter, Laska, who is 3 and 4. She turns 4 when the film was being made. And she's, when my daughter said, yes, talk to Laska, and if she wants to be in the film, she can be in the film. And the first thing she wanted to do was create a character name, so she picked Freya. And now when
She picked her own name.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, yeah. She said, my name in this film is going to be Freya. And she was very clear about when I could film. And even right off the top of the movie, she says, can you stop filming? It wasn't fly on the wall. It was, we put on character clothes and we're like, now we're doing a scene for the movie. This is happening. This could be a scene in the movie. And she would say, no, I don't want to film right now. Or yes, I can film right now. And she would kind of become Freya. And when I pre-screened the film for her, she looked at it the other day and she said, gosh, that's not me at all. I guess Freya wants to be a mom and Freya wants to have babies, because that's not what I want to at all. So she's already like, that's a character. And my family too. I mean, my son is kind of playing a version of himself. I think I'm the only one that sort of really blurred the line. But my daughter too, she's actually giving birth. It's not
so that
acting
was,
giving birth.
You had the camera at the actual childbirth.
100%. That is
a
single shot from when I'm teaching on Zoom. I had my camera on a latte and I could hear her, you know, doing some pretty heavy contractions in the next room. And that was like, I got to go, class, pick up the camera, single shot, and the baby was born, you know, 2 pushes later. But there's only some times where my son was like, Mom, I got to get a blood test. I don't want you filming the blood test. I go, oh, but the blood test will be so good in the movie because it's blood and it's family. And he's like, no, you can't film my blood test.
Well, altogether, it's quite an amazing experience. And I hope everyone has a chance to see it. Thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Ingrid Veninger's new film, Crocodile Eyes, is having its world premiere at the Canadian Film Festival on March 28th. This is Daniel Garb with the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.